Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, YouTube. It's good to have all y'all with us tonight here on another session of Establishing Your Faith. Wow. Hey, let's see if we can get this one. Be quiet. There we go. Thank you for being here and being with us. I'm going to be the first guy to like our program. There we go. Started streaming less than 1 minute ago. Well, so we're going to talk about spiritual authority tonight again. And we're going to talk about fasting to get rid of unbelief. A spiritual authority move is fasting. And Brother John Wehner's with us over there on YouTube. Welcome, 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 Brother John. It's good to have you with us. Just so you know, brother, you're missing another snowstorm here in North Dakota. I don't know how you're actually existing without having all these snowstorms around you, but I'll send you pictures. That way, at least you can feel it, you know. Evening, Brother Roger Oxy. Good to have you with us tonight. Looks like YouTube's going to be tuned right up, Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, 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 welcome. It's always, 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 always good when we get to be here and be a part of what God is doing in the lives of everybody around the world. You know, it's an interesting, it's a very interesting process. Oh, that's cool. I see, I was just looking at all of our nations here. It is just an interesting thing to see how God Malawi down in Africa. I don't know who we know in Malawi, Africa, but we just are really glad you guys are here with us. And it's always fun to go check that out and see what's going on. See what's going on. God bless you. So welcome, everybody. We've been studying spiritual authority around here the last couple of weeks. And not too many days out here, we're going to study Brother Charles Capps again, because he gave one of the most solid foundational set of line upon line teaching on it. And it was one of those messages that you just need to continually listen to and get that understanding down deep in your heart. And then, of course, just like is always the case, take some notes, get this word down deep in your heart so that by speaking it out loud, the word becomes life as you speak it, and it's coming up through your body, through your system. And then all your cells and tissues begin to have life in them. And then it begins to affect your understanding, and it begins to cause you to have the mind of Christ. And that's what this whole process is all about, is that you and I would have the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." And So that's what our focus is. That's what we're heading to, and thank God for it. Now, I'll remind you, in the matter of about, what is this, the 15th? So in the matter of about 7 days, I think that's what it is, we're going to be celebrating our third year as a ministry here. And that's a pretty cool situation. So next week, make sure whoever you are, wherever you are, make sure that you're with us on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We might just play one of our original videos. I don't know if we'll play the number one original video, because that was a very, anyways, we'll just keep talking. But we'll play one of our original videos for you so that we can go back and just remember what it is that God did for us then and what it is that God's doing for us now. Of course, we're going to talk a lot about the pandemic because it was on then, you know, it just had kicked on and they were just locking us all down. Aren't you glad those days are long gone? Thank you, Jesus, that they're gone and that while we're here on this earth, we, the believers, will never again allow that to happen. And thank you for the men and women of God who all through the pandemic stood up and said, you're not going to stop me from being out in the public and doing what I know I can do. And one of my favorites is Brother Sean Fouk. And so I'm going to start out tonight with last night's flashpoint. Oh, Jesus, help me. Well, I guess it's still up. So that would mean that he didn't say anything he shouldn't have said. Because it was Brother Gene that got us delisted the last time. But anyways, here we go. It's on YouTube, so we'll be all right. Anyways, I want to play this for Brother Gene last night. And Brother Sean's on there. Hank Kuhneman's on there. It's about 10 minutes long. Let's listen and get an update from the world, the church, and these that are fighting a good fight of faith every day out here, making a difference in the politics of this great nation through Jesus. Here we go. Oh, I don't have my speaker. Yeah, I do right here. Are you ready, speaker?
Now.
Well, isn't that something? Here we go. My. Don't you just love to hear somebody that is not only, he doesn't just believe in spiritual authority, he takes spiritual authority and begins to function in it on a regular daily basis. And hold on just a second. All right. Now. There we go. Now, where was I at? Anyways. Oh, thank God. That there's men, that's where it's at. There's men like Sean Fouk that are, they not only believe in spiritual authority and would teach it to you if you gave them a chance to, but continually takes it to the street on a regular basis. And I encourage you, everybody, remember, that's called, that is, let me get that. Remember what this is. Kingdom to the Capital. So it's KINGDOMTOTHECAPITOL. It's capital with an O. All right. KingdomToTheCapital.com. That's the website. You can go there and see exactly when they're coming to your state capital. Really, no matter what's going on in your life, make sure you get out whenever they're going to be there, because they need to have your support while you're there. Now, let me just go over it real quick, because they got them right here where you can hear them. This weekend, 317 Baton Rouge, 318 Jackson, Mississippi, 319 Montgomery, Alabama. If you're anywhere down there, you could go to all three of those. It would rock your world, and you would see some amazing things. So Baton Rouge, that's Louisiana. If you go to this website, you can see that that is at the Capitol, State Capitol Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 5 p.m. on the 17th. The 17th would be Friday at 5 p.m. And get out there. You might as well get out there. Go experience something you've never experienced before. Baton Rouge, Louisiana, on Friday night at 5 p.m. So senators and representatives will all have had plenty of time to be done with their day. And the politicians have probably already gone home at 3:30 instead of 5. And we'll be nothing left, just good old basic Bible-believing people will be there. That's Baton Rouge. That's on the 17th. Jackson, Mississippi is on Saturday the 18th. And that's going to be at 1 p.m. at the state capitol. And then Montgomery, Alabama is the 19th. That's actually Sunday. And that's on Capitol Steps at 3 p.m. And I always say it this way. If you are if you're a person who loves God, don't read history from a history book. Go get involved in history and be a part of history. Now, they're in Arkansas on the 31st, Nashville, Tennessee on the 1st of April, Missouri on the 2nd of April, Jefferson City. Oklahoma City is the 21st of April. Austin, Texas is the 22nd. Topeka, Kansas is the 23rd. May 5th, they're going to be in Wisconsin at the capital there is in Madison, 5 p.m. And then Springfield, Illinois on the 6th, in Indianapolis on the 7th. The reason I'm saying this to you is I really want to encourage you, get out and find a way to be involved, like seriously, because go on Sean's site and volunteer. There's got to be a place on there somewhere where you can volunteer to be a worker, do something. Maybe not. I don't know. But we know this. Show up and be willing to do something. And it'll be a blessing. And thank God for that. And I don't know. I like it. I like what is going on here. And if you've never been out and been a part of something like this, now's the time. Do not wait around in the sidelines and wish you could do something. Get out there and do it and get busy doing it and watch God do a mighty work. And then if you're needing a vacation, watch for when they go to Hawaii. That'd be a good one to go to. And Alaska. That'd be another good one to go to. I'm sure Alaska will be during the summer, I think. But you don't know Sean. He's kind of crazy, so it might be during the winter. Anyways, there, that's a good update for you on some good things that's happening here in the United States. And, you know, Brother Gene was talking about the banking collapse. Let's just pray for a minute on that. Father, in Jesus' name, we just heard these mighty men of God talking about it and prophesying about it. And Father, we thank you. We give you glory and honor and praise that never one time in history have you ever been alarmed by what man is going through on this earth. You've been shocked many times that we didn't turn and come to you in faith and ask for your help. Father, tonight, there's many people that they've probably lost a lot of money tonight and a lot of security they had. And Father, may the churches of that community rise up and be the voice and be the hope and be the faith. Turn woke upside down on its head. Silence woke's mouth. Yep. And give good old Americans the courage to stand up and say, we're not going to accept it. And if you keep going that way, then you're going to speak against God and the curse will be on you. We don't want you cursed. But that's just how life is. If you're going to curse God, then he's going to let you do it. And then you get to reap that harvest. Father, in Jesus' name, help people come to their senses right now, today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Now, go with me to a couple important scriptures. Let's go to John chapter 10. And we're just going to kind of jump all around in John chapter 10. So when you get there, shout amen, hallelujah, or I love the word.
Amen, hallelujah, and you know I love the word.
Here we go. John 10. Well, I'm going to get there yet. John chapter 10. Almost. All right, now, I'm going to give you some scriptures about spiritual authority, and we're going to end up talking about fasting in this time we're together. Now, I know fasting is not a subject that everybody always wants you to talk about, but I think the truth about fasting, when you and I get an understanding of what the purpose of fasting actually is, then we will no longer have a hesitancy or a dread. We'll realize that it's going to produce great spiritual power for us and help us to enter in a way we may have never felt like we was going to enter in before. And so, we're going to start here in John 10, and then we're going to head on out into the things of God here. In Jesus' mighty name. Here we go. If you will, hold your Bibles up. We'll make our confession. The Bible says we get to have the fruit of our lips. And I'm very serious about making confessions. When you listen to all the great men and women of God, they talk about all of the confessions that they make on a regular daily basis. And so that's why I keep bringing it to us, so that you and I learn how to speak the word of God. Here we go. Hold your Bible up and make this with me. Everybody just read it right off the page together. This is my Bible. I believe what God's word says. I am what Jesus says I am, because he is the great I am. The Holy Spirit of God my resident teacher is making his word come alive in my life tonight. I receive the word of God and plant him as a seed in the good soil of my heart, producing a hundredfold return in my spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen and amen. Here we go. John chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Most assuredly, I say to you, he not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, I want to deal with this because this is one of those things. This is one of those sets of verses that Brother Charles Capps was dealing with the other day when we studied this. And, of course, Jesus is the door to salvation. No one can come to the Father except through Jesus. But when it comes to spiritual authority on the earth, the only one who has spiritual authority on the earth is the one who came through the door, and that is through the process of being born, a man, a woman, you and I, being born of a woman. Now, you might say, Pastor, this is talking about Jesus being the true shepherd. Well, that's very true. I do not deny that in any sense of the word. But notice that it says, he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. But he who climbs up a different way, he is a thief and a robber. He's a thief and a robber. Now, go over to verse 10 with me. Now watch this. The thief comes to kill and destroy. So the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Now let's go back over here to verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Now, I really, 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 really want you to let this get deep down inside of you. Now, you might say, Pastor, where are we going? Well, that's all right. Say it. Because where we're going is an understanding of who we are. And when we get this understanding of who we are, then all of a sudden we'll realize what all the rest of this is. And we'll realize we have all authority through Jesus. And nothing else has authority. Now let's grab a couple more verses. Hold your place. You know how it is when you come here. Watch out. Hang on just a second. You need to be sure that you have about three of these place markers here. You got it. It doesn't matter. This is my Pinnacle Rewards paper. This is partner program with Dr. Barkley. This is an envelope from somebody who sent their tithe in. Thank you for sending your tithe in. I like to hold the envelope in my in my Bible and pray over it. But let's look at a couple other verses here about this. So here we go. Let's go to Psalm 24. Watch this. Say this with me. I entered by the door through my mama. Yep. Just stick with me. Don't turn me off. Stick with me. Through the door, through his mom, his mother. What's her name? Mary. You ready? What door did Satan or Lucifer enter through? He has no mother on this earth. He is an illegal alien. He is a thief and a robber. He was not born of women. Watch. I know. This is like right out on the edge going, what? Well, what we got to do, if you always believe what you've always believed, you will always have what you've always had. There has to come a point where you look at the Bible in a different way and say, hold it. I want to see more. Jesus said, to him who has revelation, more will be given. The disciples came and said, why do you speak to them in parables? And he said, because to you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Maybe there's been times in your life where you were just kicking it and you were learning and you were growing in God. And then there's other times that you're like, I'm not getting anything accomplished, Jesus. Please forgive me. Have mercy. But wait, that's just in a time where you got to dig in deeper and grab a hold of these verses and get it down in your life. Satan don't have no access here on this earth. He's an angel. He's a fallen angel. God gave this earth to man. God gave this earth to man and not to angels. And he most certainly didn't give it to Satan. Now, Adam submitted himself under Satan's power in the garden, under his deception. There is no power without the deception. When you believe the lie, you empower the liar. If you don't believe that lie, the liar has no power. Now let's read Psalm 24. This is one of them psalms that's just good. 10 verses. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Did you guys take my pen? Who took my pen? There it is. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness, and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. All right? Now, think about this. God created this earth and then put you and I, mankind, on the earth to steward it. He took it. Give it back, John. Verse 2, he has founded it upon the sea, established it upon the water. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. You can't even be there. Nothing about the enemy gets to be there. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lifted up, you everlasting door. and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your head, O ye gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. Now go with me to Genesis chapter 3. Actually, 2. Genesis chapter 2, and then 3. Let's do 2. Let's see. 2. Let's do 2:4. And we'll do 4 through 9. Genesis 2:4 through 9. This is the history, his story of the heavens and the earth, when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, before any plant of the field was in the earth, before any herb of the field had grown. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. But a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the earth. Wouldn't that be cool that you've been able to see that? Walk in the garden in the cool of the evening with Jesus. Come on, come on, come on. 7. The Lord God formed him out of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree grow that's pleasant to the sight, good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden. Excuse me. Yeah, I made you co-host, love, so that you can help me there. All right. I'm in Genesis 2:9-10. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became 4 riverheads. Now let's go down to 15. Lord God took the man, put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may truly eat, freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And the Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I'll make him a helper comparable to him. And Adam went to sleep, woke up without a rib, and thus men have been looking for ribs ever since. Now, chapter 3, The serpent was not the devil. The devil entered the serpent because the serpent led him. Adam had authority over the garden. And he could have cast that serpent out of the garden. But he didn't do it. The first one to sin was not Eve. The first one to sin was Adam. Because he did not cast that serpent out of the garden, who was sly and sneaky. What does it say? More cunning is what the New King James says. But you see, it's not about that. All you got to hear is serpent, and you can hear the sly and the sad about it. So now watch this as we're looking at spiritual authority. Let's go down here. Let's go down to 9, Genesis 3:9, and we'll read down through, let's read through 16. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And God said to him, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? And the man said, the woman whom you gave me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. And the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go. You shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He, look at that. He is capitalized. That's Jesus. He shall bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel. To the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband. He shall rule over you. Then to Adam he said, because you've heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, that you shall not eat. Cursed is the ground for your sake. Toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat of the herb of the field. Sweat of your face shall you eat it, till you return to the ground. Out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return. This is the verse right here, 15, that says Jesus is coming, and he's going to crush you. And he's going to come through a woman, through a virgin, who'd never been with another man. And that virgin birth, and that birth into this earth through a human who is in control of this earth, would now give Jesus the authority that he needed, access through the door that would be able to rightfully crush Satan's head here. See, one of the things about spiritual authority that you and I have to learn is there's in God, there's no, oops, I made a mistake. God's way is pure. God's way is holy. God's way is righteous. God doesn't make a mistake, ever. He does not make a mistake. And so when man sinned, before the foundations of the world, the plan had already been made if man sinned. But Adam and Eve didn't have to sin. They were the ones in authority of this earth. So Jesus began to prophesy of his coming through the prophets all through the Old Testament. And in every book of the Bible, you can hear a prophecy about Jesus coming to this earth. And so Jesus had to come through the door. And that door was through being born by a woman. Lucifer has no ability. Satan has no ability to put him in a seed inside of a person. He can't even stay in a person that don't want him. You and I have so much authority over him. When we find someone that is abused by him and possessed by him, we can cast him out. Go with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. Now listen, I know we've taught a lot of things about a lot of things, but what I'm giving us tonight, I hope I am over here and over there and out there and way back over this way, so that we break our mind out of the crusty mold of religion. If you don't ever have anybody that can speak by the Spirit of God and break you out of the crusty mold of religion, you'll just keep acting in the same religious manner you've always acted, and God don't want any of us to be there at all. Want to say it with me? I will not ever again be a crusty old religious person.
I will never again be a crusty old religious person. I think I said it right.
Amen.
I know what I mean.
Amen, Mary. Hallelujah. It's good to have you with us, Mary. It's good to hear your voice. I'm in Matthew 28. Now look at this. Let's go to 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. Now, pause for a minute. Let's remember our teachings. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Jesus showed himself to his disciples by many infallible proofs, speaking of the things of the kingdom every time he did. So the disciples all watched him get crucified and die and put in the grave, and they thought they were next because how bad the scribes and Pharisees hated them and hated Jesus. They thought they were next. But then none of the men were going to believe very well, so God presented himself to a woman. And the first person to ever carry the message, he is risen, was a woman. So all y'all shut up about woman preachers.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God used women in many powerful ways.
Amen. Now, so you and I got to realize that Jesus had to enter through the door, through Mary, and be born by water and by blood. And that he had to live on this earth and grow and develop like you and me. He set aside his godness and took on the form of man so that he could prove that a man anointed by the Holy Spirit, walking in the Father's righteousness, could crush this enemy. And he did it. Let's keep reading. 16. They went to the mountain. Oh, that's what I started to say. So this is the same mountain that you see in Acts chapter 1 that we read last night when he said to the disciples, I'm going to go and you stay here in Jerusalem till you're endued with power. They had no idea what was coming after they got endued with power. They didn't know. They just knew Jesus said, stay here. And then as soon as the power hit them, they're like, whoa, let's go. And they turned the world upside down. That's what spiritual authority gives you, the ability to turn your community, your neighborhood, your friends, your life upside down for the things of God. Look at verse 17. Now, they're up on the mountain. Look what happens. When they saw him, they worshiped him. Look at this. Jesus. And it said, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now let's go back to 18. All authority has been given to me, that me is Jesus, in heaven and on earth. 19, go ye therefore. The authority was given to Jesus, and Jesus deputized you and me and gave us his name that we get to use every single day wherever we go and whatever's going on. We get to bring the name of Jesus. That's our badge of authority. Now, think about this. Well, let's go there. Romans chapter 5. Yeah, don't worry. Nobody's ever preached this message like this before. That's all right. This is just straight out of the heart of God, straight out of the Holy Spirit. And before we're finished, we're going to end up in fasting. So hang on. It's getting ready to get good. If you got a big Snickers bar close to you, eat it now, because in a few minutes you may not want to. I'm in Romans 5. Let's go to six through 11, first of all. Romans 5, 6 through 11. And those of you that's on the different platforms, if you want to add verses in there, that would help Sister Leanne. I really appreciate it. And then any of you that want to make a verse list at the end by going through and copy and paste them, all of them, into a comment in Messenger, that really helps us. It makes it a very powerful way to do this ministry. Here we go. Romans 5:6. Now watch this. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone might even dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Because Jesus came to this earth and was born of a woman, you and I now have access to all the authority of heaven that flowed through Jesus to you and me. And Christ died for us that we would be justified. He reconciled us to the Father so that we could have a one-on-one relationship with the Father, Father to child, and in so doing, be able to carry the same authority that Jesus carried. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. You go, therefore. But think about this. In John chapter 4, Jesus said, the day is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship him, when the Father is seeking worshipers. Not to worship, the worshiper, that's you. He's seeking you. Well, you were born of a woman, so that's your first access. And now you're born again through Jesus' blood. Now you got your second access. And now you're anointed and filled with the Holy Spirit. And now you got your third PowerPoint that gives you all authority to function here on this earth. And we just read that by the blood of Jesus, we've been reconciled to the Father, giving us access to be able to have the same righteousness the Father gave Jesus, and Jesus has given to us. We got the same righteousness. Think about it. Satan has no access to any of that. He's a thief and a robber. He tries to climb up and come into, through lie and deception, into a human. But he cannot produce a seed. So he's a liar. And he's a thief. And he's an illegal alien. He doesn't belong to your life or in the life of any other. Don't let him stay there. And Jesus is the one that gave us this access that we get to have. Now watch this. John 10, let's start at verse 7, and let's go down through, I don't know, I'm just going to go down here ways, probably 16, who knows, as soon as you start this, you're like John 10, and we got to do the whole book, the whole chapter, but we can't do that. So I'm in verse 7. Most assuredly, I say to you, I'm the door to the sheep. All who ever came before me, are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And we will go in and out and find pasture. Now he's being the shepherd, okay? And there's only one way to get in that sheepfold, and that's through the door. The sheepfold, most times did not even have a roof on it. It was just four walls with two doors, one on each side, so that the sheep could be inside the fold, protected from the wolves outside the fold, and the shepherds were inside with them, protecting the doorways. Watch. If anyone enters by me, he'll be saved, and we'll go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I am known by them. So now, when it comes to talking about salvation, Jesus said, I'm the door. No one comes to the Father except by me. And so there's no way our enemy has any access on this earth except through a deception that you and I, if we walk in the truth, when you know the truth will set you free. Amen. Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2. Look at this. Galatians, Ephesians. We're going to read 14 through 18. Ephesians 2, 14 through 18. Watch this. Holy Spirit, have your way and help me. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation. All right? Part of that was the veil of the temple. Having abolished it in his flesh, the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, making peace, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, therefore thereby putting to death the enmity, the enemy. And he came and preached peace to you who are afar off and to those who are near. Look at 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Think about this with me. What access does our enemy have to the Father? He has nothing. He was an angel created on the same day every other angel was created. He was an archangel. But what difference does that make? He began to get rebellion in his heart against God. And so the moment it was there, he was kicked out of heaven. The very moment he was kicked out of heaven. And I have access through Jesus because Jesus gained access through Mary. And now Jesus is here on this earth as a man, and therefore he's made that propitiation. For through him we both have access by one spirit to the Father. Now let's look at it. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Wow. Go, Holy Spirit, go. Now listen, tonight you might be saying, wow, Pastor, you're taking us to a place that, wow. Well, this is what I know. I am going to get a revelation of spiritual authority. God's going to have to take us out here on the edges and say, look at this picture. This picture has nothing to do with any enemy because he's already destroyed it. Now watch, Ephesians or Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Here we go. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, not at Jesus standing here doing it for you, but at the name of Jesus when it comes off your lips and mine, look what it says. Every knee should bow of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth. Bow your knee to Jesus. Ready? If you need healing in your body, in any area right now, in your eyes, in your ears, maybe you got a neck problem, a back problem. These are the things I'm seeing. In the name of Jesus right now, I use the name of Jesus and I speak to you now and I speak to your bodies now. Be healed, be restored in the name of Jesus now. Now there is an anointing flowing from me through me to you right now. I am aware of that anointing flowing right now. Somebody within the sound of my voice is hearing that, is receiving this right now, and healing's coming into your body. Just lift your hands and thanking. Get up and run around the house and do a jig. You might want to shout, dance, jump, do a flip, roll around on the floor. Don't matter. If you're being healed, since you're being healed, we know that God is touching you. And, you know, the guy in Acts chapter 3, leaping, jumping, dancing is what happened to him. And what happens to so many people when they are healed? 10. Father, we thank you that the name of Jesus is all powerful because we stand in your blood and in your righteousness, not any works of ourselves. This isn't from us. We know this flows from heaven through us to other people, and it's flowing now in the mighty name of Jesus. And we give you the glory, and we give you the honor, and we give you the praise in Jesus' mighty name. 9. Philippians 2:9. Therefore, God also highly exalted him, has given him the name which is above every name, and at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven, of those on earth, and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. John chapter 14. We're talking about spiritual authority, but We're talking about it in a way that goes way far out. I don't know if that's even good English. Way far out from anything we've ever heard. Because if we keep only believing what we're believing, we're going to be stuck where we are. And I refuse to be stuck. You might want to say with me, I will not be stuck. I'm moving on with God. I am moving on with God. Now, let's see.
I will not be stuck.
Amen.
With God.
I threw out a big logging chain for you, Mary.
Yep. I receive it.
Now watch. Let's go to 14. Let's do 10 through 18. You know how we do it around here. We get on a subject. Wait. You know how the Holy Spirit does it with us. We get on a subject. We start digging it out. We ask God to show us everything he can possibly show us. We preach it. I sit here and preach and teach words I don't even know in an intellectual depth. I remember hearing Dr. Summerall say in one of his videos, one of his teachings, that the greatest way to come to an understanding about something that God has shown you and it's new to you is to start teaching and preaching it. Because when you're under that anointing of the Holy Spirit, he illuminates a new verse and you go look at it and you're like, yep, there it is. There's an answer for us right there. Watch. I'm in John 14, 10 through 18. Do you believe that I am in the Father? Yes, we do. And the Father in me? Yes, we do. The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. But the Father who dwells in me does the works. So realize that Jesus is showing to us that it is not you that's doing the healing. It's not you that's doing the delivering. It's not you that's doing the anointing, the blessing, nothing. That's Jesus. Or that's the Father working through us in Jesus' name by the power of the Holy Spirit. 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works. Because I'm doing the work of my Father. 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. The disciples, while Jesus was on the earth, were functioning under his authority as deputized agents of the Jesus Christ Evangelistic Association. But as soon as Jesus left, the Holy Spirit was coming. And now every one of them would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it wouldn't just be one person doing the healing. Every one of us would be doing the healings. You don't have to turn there, but Mark chapter 10, or Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 21, says, these signs follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons, heal the sick. And John chapter 10, he said, you'll cast out demons, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. That's what Jesus said his disciples would do under his authority. And Jesus right here said, because he's going to the Father, you and I are going to do greater works than what Jesus did. Yeah. 13, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, all of a sudden, we got to realize, hold on, I got to fine-tune my life, my attitude, my words, my statements, because Jesus is standing right there giving me, getting ready to give me the power to go do amazing, mighty things. And I'm just letting my mouth run on about everything. And I need to slow my mouth down and listen to the leadership of the Holy Spirit so I can go do exactly what it is that I'm supposed to be doing. And a great and mighty work will be done in Jesus' mighty name. Great and mighty work. Now, watch this. I love those two verses. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. See, all of a sudden, you and I can see it's no longer Jesus telling us what to do. Well, it's no longer Jesus doing the work. It's you and I having a relationship with God and then stepping into every place where he gives us to step into. And just saying, I have spiritual authority here. I know he showed me to go do this. And therefore, I'm going to do it with all the authority I can muster. And I am going to walk in that authority. I'm going to live in that authority. I'm going to abide in that authority. And in so doing, you win great victories. Now, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. I'll pray the Father. He'll give you another helper. That's capitalized, Holy Spirit. That he, that's capitalized, may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Now, see, guys, we got to put all of this together in a way we may have never put it together before. God has given us authority. But our greatest authority is we have a suit called the body. Jesus has an earth suit, a body. And in fact, that verse just comes to me. Somebody help me find it. Let's all look for it. Bible says that God prepared for him a body. Let's see if we can find that. There it is, Hebrews 10:5. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. Now, and then when we get done here, we're going to talk about fasting. Man, Pastor, you and that fasting stuff. I know. Let's start with verse 1. And we'll go through verse 10. Are you ready for revelation? Just lift your hands and say, Jesus, speak to me. Speak to me. I open up my heart. I open up my mind. I open up my understanding. Speak to me. Chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with the same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. The law is not going to make you perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. For the worshipers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. The Day of Atonement was once a year. Verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. The blood of an animal is not going to take away the sin of a man. Verse 5, therefore, when he, now look at this, this is John 1 and 2, therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. God prepared a body of a human for Jesus to enter into and then come and make the supreme sacrifice for sin. It says it right there. But a body you have prepared for me. Jesus had a body by which he had access to the things of this earth and to be we read it in Philippians 2, being in the form of a man. Now let's keep reading. In burnt offerings and sacrifices of sin, you had no pleasure. What's the proof of that he had no pleasure in that? Because when Jesus made the price once and for all, the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom and the Passover was no longer necessary. 7, I said, behold, I've come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O God. Now, that's a quote from Psalm 40. Now, verse 8. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offering for sin you do not desire, nor had pleasure in them which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Listen, that's why the enemy has zero power. He's an illegal alien. He doesn't have a body. Jesus came through Mary, the door. And he has a body. And he had all power and authority as a man on this earth. I don't remember the exact number. Let's just look it up real quick. How many times in the New Testament the phrase the Son of Man is used in the New Testament 84 times. Well, what is that referring to? That's referring to Jesus being the Son of a man. Because that Son of a Man had to come in, enter in through the door in order to live and to destroy the power of Satan. Now let's look at it. Luke chapter 2. I hope you're enjoying this tonight. I know I am. And I hope you don't feel like I'm struggling, because I'm not really struggling. I'm just going where the Holy Spirit is leading me. And we're getting this mission accomplished. Luke 2:40. And the child grew. Watch this. So he's a child on this earth. He grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So that's what every one of us must do. Grow, become strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God will be on us. Now, Jesus goes to the temple and is there. Mary and Joseph lose him. They're like, the last thing in the world you want to do is lose God. Don't do that. They found him. Look at 47. Luke 2:47. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. When they saw him, they were amazed. His mother said, son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have sought you anxiously. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? He's 12. Verse 51. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth. Look at this. And was subject to them. His mother kept all these things in her heart. 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and men. Jesus came to this earth as a man so that he could make that sacrifice for you and I, that once and for all, one time for everybody, he would give us access into the wonderful life of righteousness that is ours. Let's read that. Oh, we got lots of time yet. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hebrews 9. Seven. But into the second part, the high priest went only once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit indicating that this way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. It was symbolic. 11. But Christ came as the high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle. Now watch this. Not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. What was the tabernacle that Jesus came through? This human flesh. He had to have a body in order to be able to function on this earth. Not made with man's hands. Made with a woman's womb. 12. Not with the blood of bulls and goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place. Look at this phrase. Once for all. Having obtained eternal redemption. How much more shall the blood of Christ, I'm in 14, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience, purge it from dead works, so that you can serve the living God. 22. According to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. But it's just so good. Let's keep reading. 23. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Jesus took his blood to the Holy of Holies in heaven and put it on the mercy seat. Hi, Sunday. Bless you. Sister Rebecca, welcome. We bless you. Watch. Now, let's go back here 2. Hang on. Luke chapter 8. Is that right? 9. Bless you, Sunday. We love you. Actually, let's go to Mark 9. Let's go to Mark 9. I think I always end up going to Luke 9 and then end up in Mark 9. I'm seeing a pattern here. Yes. Now, we've been talking about Mark 9, 14 through 29. We've been talking about spiritual authority. Actually, just give me a second because I'm just hearing here. Hold your place in Mark 9. I want to find the place where Jesus is sending out the disciples. Yeah, that's not the right one. Let's go to Matthew 10. Matthew 10. Matthew 10, verse 5. No, verse 1. And then we'll go down to 5. Matthew 10, 1. Just keep holding your place there in Luke and Mark 9, because that's where we're coming back to. All right, Matthew 10. And when, 10, 1. And when he called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases. So Jesus gave the disciples authority, which is delegated authority, under his name to cast out demons. Look what it says. Gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases. Now, when you realize that, all of a sudden you begin to realize that these disciples were probably the most skilled demon caster outers there were. Jesus taught them. They watched Jesus. Jesus then anointed them and sent them out. Now, verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, freely you have received, freely give. That's the assignment that God gave to the disciples, and he gave them spiritual authority to do it, and they came back rejoicing that it happened. Now, we're going to read Mark 9, and we got just enough time to get this done. We're going to read 14 to 29. Amen. Brother Roger Oxy. I love the majestic word of God and glory. Hallelujah. I agree, brother. I agree. When he came to the disciples, he just came down off of the mountain where he was transfigured. When he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them. So there was Peter, James, and John went up to the top of the mountain with him, and the other 9 were still down here with the multitude. Immediately when they saw him, Jesus, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? Then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who had a mute spirit. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth. He gnashes his teeth. He becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. But wait a minute. Jesus gave them power to raise the dead. So they obviously went and did it because this guy brought his son to those disciples and said, cast the demon out. We've seen you cast out all kinds of demons before. You can only imagine how many demon-possessed people would show up at Jesus' meeting, and Jesus wasn't going to be the only one to be able to cast them out. He was going to have lots of help. Someday, I'll find the message by Brother Jerry Savelle, where Brother Copeland looked at Jerry and said, Jerry, go cast that demon out of that lady. It is an amazing story, and I'm not going to tell you any more because I want you to be able to join when we hear. But watch what happens now. So he said, I brought my child here, and they couldn't cast it out. Now watch this. Jesus answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. They brought him to Jesus. When the child saw Jesus, immediately the spirit convulsed the child, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. Why? Because the devil can't handle the presence of Jesus. That's why there's a lot of people trying to cast out a demon or heal the sick, but they don't have any presence of God on the inside of you. You got to get Jesus resident in here so that everywhere you go, he comes out here. So a lot of people are trying to do it because they heard that guy say it or that guy say it, or we gave you three verses and say, go use those verses. Well, no. The power to cast out demons, heal the sick, and raise the dead is because you got the power of God in you to a magnified level, and you have built that level by a relationship with God. And now when you just walk down the street, people are going to realize that person knows God. This is about consecration. This is about dedication. This is about giving yourself to the things of God. Now watch. 21, he asked his father, how long has this happened to him? And his father said, from childhood. Often, he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Remember, the man just said, if you can do anything. Well, Jesus is going to call that man to faith. And he said, if you can believe, all things are possible. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. So obviously the father had some unbelief on the inside. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Well, Jesus was always with the Father, and and the presence of God was on Jesus' life. He did what it took to have access to the world, and then he showed you and I how we were to have a personal relationship with God all the days of our life. Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he rose. 28. When he came into the house, his disciples asked him privately, saying, why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. And what Jesus was talking about was not the demon. Or you'd have to go fast and pray every time you saw a demon. Then the person with the demon would be gone. He's talking about this kind of unbelief. That's what he rebuked them for back here, is he rebuked them for their unbelief. They had faith. They had experience. They'd cast out many demons. They probably had raised people from the dead. Jesus told them, this kind of unbelief only comes out by prayer and fasting. Well, what is the principles of that, Pastor? Well, the principles of that is you crucify your flesh. You give up something that you greatly desire. And you do it for the purpose of entering into the presence and the power of God to a greater degree. And then God helps you go to the next level in Him. Now, of course, you know, you got Jesus and John the Baptist and Elijah all did 40-day fast. But I'm going to tell you, Sister Leanne and I did a 40-day fast. There's thousands of people who do 40-day fast all over the world every year, and they fast just for health. But the 40-day fast isn't the goal. The goal is you and I get along with the Father and say, Father, what is it going to take for me to go to the next level with you? I make that consecration inside of my life. And then follow through with it. I won't turn to these. I'll just refer to them. Samuel's mother, Hannah, was fasting. And she had nothing to give to God but a vow. She made a vow that if you give me a son, I'll consecrate him to you all the days of his life. And Samuel was a Nazarite from birth. So Hannah made a vow to see her womb open. And Samuel lived his whole life as a Nazarite, which is another whole way that you can consecrate yourself to God. You can find that in Numbers chapter 6. And, you know, it's an Old Testament part of the law, actually, Numbers chapter 6. And yet you see the Apostle Paul functioning in it in the book of Acts. So it's obvious it's for today. And it's a level of consecration. Daniel did a 21-day fast. There's a 14-day fast people do. A lot of people do 10-day fast, 3-day fast. This is the reality. You and I need to go to a relationship with the Father and say, Father, I want to get in closer to you. Is fasting my answer? Because what are you going to do if he looks at you and says, no, fasting is not what I want you to do? All of a sudden, you're like, what are we doing? And then he's going to take you on a journey. And in that journey, you will find the answers that you need. I love the story that we've been studying with Brother Dutch Sheets on the morning program. And he was talking about God giving him an assignment. He was talking about spiritual authority. And the reference he gave was that God sent him on an assignment to go and pray for a young lady who was in a coma in the nursing home. And, you know, he went and prayed, and then he's like, she's in a full a coma, you know, and how is she going to get out? What in the world happened over here? Guess you guys are still there, and so am I. Now, he went and prayed for her, and she didn't get up and get healed, you know? And it's like, wow, that's pretty severe. She's in a coma. She doesn't know Jesus. And God told him to go back and pray for her once a week for a year. I think he had to drive an hour to get there. For a year, he went back and prayed for this young lady from Friday morning. It's a powerful program, powerful testimony. And Dutch said the amazing part of that miracle is that it began to change him. Just like you and I doing this, we came on here for one purpose, and that was to help people during the pandemic. And then what did God do? He created a ministry. All we wanted to do was just help people learn how to chase after God. And we've done that. And yet God created a ministry out of it. Why? Because we were willing to walk with him and do what he gave us to do. And now our challenge where all of us are at right now is to go to the next level in God. And how are we going to get to that next level? We're going to get there because we're walking with God. We're going to get there because every day we ask God, what are you going to have me do today? What do you want me to do today? And you know what? He might tell you to fast all your meals except one. Doesn't matter. The purpose of that fast is not starvation. It's that you and I can consecrate ourselves to learning this book and getting in deeper with God than we've ever been before. And truly beginning to see signs and wonders and miracles come to pass. Say this with me. I came through the door of my mother. You guys can turn your mics on if you want and say it with me. I came through the door of my mother.
I came through the door of my mother.
I have legal access on this earth. And nothing can keep me from it.
And nothing can keep me from it.
Except ignorance. I choose to know the truth.
I choose to know the truth.
I choose to know the truth.
I am a truth seeker.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Bless you guys.
Amen.
See, many people watch many TV programs of preachers preaching, but are they really seeking the truth, or is it just better to watch that than it is to watch regular TV? Well, that's always going to be the case in the day we live. You'd be better off watching a preacher preach than you would anything on TV, because it's just so filled with all of the perversions of the world. But guess what? God wants so much more for you and I than just to listen to a preacher. We've got to truly seek out the presence and the power of Almighty God to get us to the next level. He's called every one of us to the next level. He wants every one of us to accomplish things for him in our life, in our family, in our community, in our whatever your hour is. He wants you in authority in it. I love the fact of Brother Sean Fouke coming to all the state capitals. That means every single one of us have the opportunity to get to a state capital and be a part of this great time of prayer and praise. And hopefully they'll even do communion with it and be baptized in people. You just don't know.
But let's
just pray that it does. But I encourage you. Make a point of getting there when it comes to your state so that you can be a part and you can actually see how big God is in your state. I encourage you when you get there, just walk up to people and say, where are you from? What city are you from? And how'd you find out about this? And all of a sudden, you and I will realize God is so much bigger than the little circle that you might be standing in. Or maybe your circle is a big circle, but God is bigger and he's wanting to reach you and help you to do so many other things and be a blessing to so many more people. We've received a lot of word right here on this program. And now we got to take that word and begin to change people's lives with it, because that's our responsibility. Sheep grow wool. And they are shorn, and they grow more wool. And sheep give birth to sheeplings, and they have more little sheepies. Oh, lamb. I was missing my word. They bear little lambs, and the lambs grow up, And that's our responsibility, is to bear forth wool to be sheared and to give birth to more lambs and to build this kingdom as we reach out and touch other people's lives. And the enemy has no authority. He has never had access to come through a woman. Never once has he had access. Never will he have access. Therefore, he has no authority. He's a thief and a robber. He's an illegal alien on this earth. And you and I got to treat him like that in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. Well, let's receive our communion elements. We do this every day. All of you that's joining us on YouTube, it shows I got five people over there now. I don't know who y'all are, but we're sure enough, glad to have you with us. And thank God that you're there with us. And, you know, share this program with your family and your friends. And this will truly transform people's lives. And I don't know who y'all are that's there, but it's like 190 different people throughout the month. And we bless you in Jesus' mighty name to be able to come back and be with us. Now, grab your communion elements and we'll receive communion. Our process here is the same. I will always read these verses. Holy Spirit assigned me that way back in March of 2020 because he said, you never know who's going to be here tonight that has never had the opportunity to receive communion online. And may not have been able to receive communion since the pandemic started. I've heard of churches that literally they have quit taking communion because they take the community cup or whatever. I don't know. And so they don't do that because of it, because they're afraid of COVID. But isn't that something, that we're drinking juice in the name of Jesus and we're afraid of COVID when we're talking about his blood? See, what it's become is a ritual. And this isn't a ritual. Don't let it be a ritual in your heart. Even though we do this every day, you and I have the responsibility to look at it with all of the awe and wonder in which Jesus gave it to us. He took all of the Passover feast that you can find in Exodus chapter 12, and he put it into the Last Supper, which was really the first communion, the last Passover. Was the first communion, and Jesus gives us the ability to receive the Passover every day and rejoice in what he's done for you and me, and receive the power of his body broken and his blood shed every single day. And I encourage you in Jesus' name to learn. It's not learn, but receive the revelation of what this is. I'm going to read the verses. We'll pause and pray the prayer of salvation, and then we will receive the elements together. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Verse 28. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. You examine yourself. What does that mean? You look at your life and say, Lord, I need you in my life. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. And then way back at the beginning, the Holy Spirit gave me the inspiration to add 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. And what's that saying? God's love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. What's that mean? Well, then the rest of the verse says, why? Because as he is, as Jesus is right now, so are we in this world. Perfect love casts out fear and the torment that goes with it. Why? Because there is no fear in God's perfect love. We love him because he first loved us in Jesus' mighty name. Now we'll pray the prayer of salvation. I'm learning to put this up on a screen here so that we can all there it is. It's coming. So that we can all pray it together. Well, it's here somewhere. Here we go. All right, give me just a second. There we go. All right. Pray this prayer with me. Apologize about that. Hesitation there. There we go. Yeah, those of you that's online, you can join with me on this, on the Zoom if you'd like. I like it, because then we're praying together. I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God and you rose again on the third day. Reach out your hands and just say it. I receive you into my life. All of your grace and your mercy. All of your love and righteousness. Filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me. I am now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire so that I live in power, understand the word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen. We welcome you to the kingdom of God. We welcome you. We want to say welcome, 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 welcome to the kingdom of God. Now, you might be saying, wow, Pastor, what just happened to me in my life? Well, what just happened is that Jesus just came in. Jesus just came in. You said, I receive you into my life. And when you said that, then Jesus came into your life. All of his grace, all of his mercy, all of his love, and all of his righteousness just filled you. Yeah. And if you're sitting at home and you're not experiencing that infilling, and just close your eyes again and just lift your hands and say, no, Jesus, I truly receive you. I truly receive you into my life. And then he honors that, and he comes to live on the inside of you. And Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith. Jesus is the light of the world, and he turns you into the light in your world. Jesus is the heir of God, and we are a joint heir with him. All of this just happened to you in the last 2 minutes when we prayed that prayer. Now, how do you live your life successfully? Get you a Bible. I recommend the Thompson Chain Reference Bible. You can see it right there. I use the New King James Version. It's what I like to preach with because it gets rid of all the these and thous and all those big long words that you stumble over anyways. But read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. Click like, subscribe, and hit the bell on whatever platform you're on. And then come and be with us every time you get a chance. We're here every day. We're here every day doing the work that God gave us to do. You can take my name, search it in YouTube, in the YouTube search, and put in any title. And more than likely, you're going to find just if you're, let's say you want health or healing, put my name and put healing. And you watch how many videos comes up in YouTube that you can listen to and be blessed by, and it'll be a blessing to you. And we welcome you to now take part of it. Of course, Jesus' instruction was the fruit of the vine and the bread. Why? Because he's the vine, and we're the branches. We cannot abide without him. And so I am asking each one of us to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and to receive the elements like he showed us to do. And so we encourage you to do that. Make sure next time you go to the grocery store, put some grape juice on your list. You can even put on there, you got to get a communion cup there. I love it. Solo made these communion cups just for me. Though your sins were red like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow when you add the blood of Jesus. And it'll be a blessing. You ready? Let's share our screen again and pray this prayer out loud with me. The prayer, you just read what we got on here, and it'll lead us right into the communion elements. Remember, it only becomes a religious action if you let it become that in your heart. If you have a determination that these words are going to be real in your life, every time you say this, it'll transform. So hold our elements up. Pray this with me. As you instructed your disciples, Jesus, I receive these elements today. This bread representing your broken body, and this juice representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. Pray this with me. You were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord, and by your stripes I am healed. in my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, my will, and my emotions. There is nothing missing and nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint supplying in my body, from your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ, in my community, and around the world, wherever you send me for this prayer, I receive the bread, your broken body now, in Jesus' name. Amen. And let's receive the body broken, the bread together. Here we go. Now we lift up the cup of blessing. Pray this with me. And I now bless this grape juice in obedience to your word, in remembrance of your blood shed to provide redemption's price and righteousness for me. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, I overcome. By your blood, Jesus, every plague must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no more condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged. My robes are made white, and I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. When you come for me, I receive this juice now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Let's receive the juice. Glory be to God. Let's sing that song. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, brothers and sisters, for being with us tonight. God is a good God. And Even though man sinned, he then spent the next 4,000 years getting the earth ready for Jesus. And man, 2,000 years have gone by since Jesus said the fields were white in the harvest. And all he's asking you and I to do is walk with him every day and learn how to dwell in and function in the spiritual authority that's been given to us. And we're learning it right now in Jesus' mighty name. Well, Sister Phyllis, you got Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 21?
Absolutely.
Here we go.
Okay, you can hear me.
Yes,
all right,
ma'am.
Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him.
Amen.
The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. And he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
Amen.
And I would also like to read Ephesians 3.
Amen.
17 through 21.
Amen.
That Jesus may dwell in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God.
Then,
now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, that's a powerful benediction.
Amen and amen. Think about the power of it. Think about it. Because the Holy Spirit said, that we might be filled all the fullness of God. Now, Holy Spirit didn't sit around writing words just because he was bored. That didn't happen. He said what he said on purpose for a purpose. And that statement is that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Well, I've just gone to preaching again, and I got to stop, but it's just, I love it, and it's a part of who I am, and I want to do my best to make it a part of who you are, that every day you and I are looking to God and saying that I might be filled with all the fullness of God, that I might be filled all the fullness of God in Jesus' mighty name. Well, I speak over you tonight. Job chapter 33. I'm going to turn back here and I'm just going to read it this time instead of just speaking it. I'm just going to read it to you because I speak this over your life, over every one of your kids' life, over anyone that's ever come in contact with you and over their life. For God may speak in one way or another, and yet man not perceive it. Have you ever been there? Yeah. I can see you're saying something, Jesus, but I'm not getting it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon man, while slumbering on their beds, then he, that's God, opens the ears of men, the ears inside, and seals their instruction in order to turn man from his deed that's taken you away, and conceal pride from man, get you out of pride, and keep back your soul from the pit and your life from perishing by the sword. Think about it. And then God promises us in 25 and 26, his flesh shall be young like a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. I receive it. He shall pray to God, and he will delight in him. He shall see his faith with joy, for he restores to man his righteousness. Right there, Job 33, verses 14 through 18, and verses 25 and 26, in Jesus' mighty name. You ready? Hold your hands out. Just say it with me. We gather everyone into the kingdom tonight.
We gather everyone into the kingdom tonight.
Follow Jesus.
Follow Jesus.
And walk with God.
And walk with God.
Lift your hands up to heaven and say, I receive my hundredfold return.
I receive my hundredfold return.
That you promised, Jesus.
Jesus.
Because we do this work of the ministry.
Because we do this work of the ministry.
And we want to preach the gospel right now.
And we want to preach the gospel right now.
Around the world, wherever you send us.
Around the world, wherever you send us.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And amen. 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 Till we see you again, this is what we say. Remember this, right here at the Community of Faith family, we love you.
We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you.
You.
And Jesus is Lord.
Lord.
Every day, all day long. All of our friends on YouTube, we love you. Brother Roger, God bless you, man. We love you. Thanks for holding down the fort. Good night, Sister Sunday. We love you, Brother John. And then everybody else that was there that we didn't see. Okilarsi, we love you. Elaine Fatili, Tafili, we love you. Julian and Bamala, Sister Maxine. Robin and Lisa Craig, we love you guys. Mike and Michelle Robinson. Everybody that's ever been a part of this, we bless you. In Jesus' mighty name today. And if I haven't seen your name and haven't named it lately, man, sign in. Let us see you. We want to see your face and love on you and bless you and call you blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Now, if tonight's message just stretched your mind way out, it was supposed to. It was supposed to. But open up those verses. Begin to meditate them and say, Father, help me see him. We're going to stay right in these verses. We're going to stay in this thought process for a while because we got to get this down deep inside of our lives. And we can't just hit it and go on and say, there, aren't you proud of us, Jesus, that we preach this message? And he's going to say, no, I want you to have an understanding of it. And I want to see it working. God bless you on YouTube and Blog Talk Radio. We're going to sign out with you guys.